It is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you know that when you hear that bell. Get your Bible at this time and turn to the 22nd Psalm, and we'll be looking at that psalm in just a moment. We're studying some lessons on the missionary message of the Psalms. Particularly what that means, we're looking at how the Psalms told that before it came to pass that God was going to bless all the peoples of all the nations of the world through the preaching of the gospel, those who would hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ would be added to his church. It was not a gospel for an exclusive people or an exclusive nation. It was a gospel for all the world. And so that's what we're looking at when we're looking at the missionary teachings of the Psalms, how they anticipated that by the things that were written. Now, while you're turning to the 22nd Psalm, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sundays of November 11th, 1923, by the beloved old preacher E. A. Elam. And in beginning this Sunday school lesson, he has some helps and hints and helps for the teacher. And the first one is that if the foretelling the coming of the Messiah and of the salvation of the Gentiles constitutes missionary teaching, much of the Psalms and all of the Old Testament is missionary. That's where we were in our last class period, and we were looking at the second psalm, and when it says that all the people would be raging, it says in the second psalm, why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? And this had to do with how the nations would team up against Christ. And you know, in the New Testament, we know what that's talking about, how that the Jews would get together with the Romans, and they together would crucify Christ. And we know that's what this is talking about because, well, we have an interpretation of the second psalm in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John and the apostles had been threatened and told not to preach or teach any more this name of Jesus in Jerusalem, it says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, that being let go, they came into their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, O Lord, thou that didst make heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now notice when they're saying that, they're talking about God being the God of all. They go on to say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 25, who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, didst say. And then we have this from the second psalm. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For of a truth in this city, here's the interpretation of the psalm, of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness, while thou stretchest forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spake the word of God with boldness. And so there you have, in the New Testament, an interpretation of the significance and the meaning of the second psalm. Now, I'd ask you to turn to the 22nd psalm. And in this psalm, we are going to read about the agony of Jesus in prophecy. You remember that Jesus was on the cross when he was dying on the cross, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in saying that, he is really repeating the words of the first verse of the 22nd psalm, and understanding that this has to do with the sufferings of Christ when he was on the cross, it makes the 22nd psalm come alive. And though it is written in a poetic and figurative language, we know what this psalm is talking about. Let's read the 22nd psalm. It has a strange inscription at the beginning with some strange words. It says, "For the chief musician, set to Ajilath Hashshahar, a psalm of David." Those strange words, Ajilath Hashshahar, are thought to mean the hind of the morning. Well, a hind is a little creature, sort of like a deer out there. And you may see the deer out running around in the morning. And what that has to do with this psalm has long been a mystery, but some have supposed it may have been a tune to which this psalm was sung. But that is only speculation. Let's get into the psalm itself, where we know where we're going here. It says in Psalm 22 and verse 1, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou answerest not, and in the night season am not silent. But thou art holy. Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, Commit thyself unto Jehovah. Let him deliver him, seeing he rescued him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth. As a ravening and a roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. But be thou not afar off, O Jehovah. O thou my succor, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, yea, from the horns of the wild oxen. Thou hast answered me." I want you to notice as we come to the 21st verse of this, that this, on the cross, would be the time when Jesus has died, when the lion's mouth closed around him, when the oxen would gore him with his horns. But yet he says at the end of this, thou hast answered me. Now remember, in verse 22, or chapter 22 and verse 1, Psalm 22 and verse 1, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But now we're going to see that he was not actually forsaken. He appeared to be, and he may even felt as though he were. But Jehovah answered him. And look how the whole situation changes when we come to Psalm 22 and verse 22. Here we read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Ye that fear Jehovah, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard, of thee cometh my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Jehovah that seek after him. Let your heart live forever. And now notice in verse 27, Psalm 22:27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto Jehovah. Not just Israel, but all the ends of the earth. This is that missionary content of the psalm, the fact that this is going to go forth into all of the world. It says, all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is Jehovah's, and he is the ruler over the nations, plural. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he that cannot keep his soul alive, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be told of the Lord unto the next generation, they that shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done it. When we understand the correct import of the 22nd Psalm, and see in the beginning of it the agony of Christ, and then the fact that God did hear him when he called out unto him from the cross, and then knowing that Jesus was raised from the tomb and from the dead, and that the gospel went forth into all of the world, then we understand how the ends of the earth would remember and turn to Jehovah, and all the kindreds of the nations shall bow before him. There are some other hints and helps for the teacher in this Sunday school lesson. The second one is concerning the psalm of this lesson, and now this is referring back to the 67th psalm, which we're going to study in some more detail. Concerning the psalm of this lesson, Adam Clark says, when or by whom the psalm was written cannot be ascertained. It seems to be simply a prophecy concerning the calling of the Gentiles, the preaching of the apostles, and the diffusion and influence of Christianity to the world. It is a fine piece of devotion, and it would be nearly impossible to read it or repeat it with a cold and unaffected heart. And then we read that some suppose that this psalm was written after the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity. And our author, E.A. Elam, in this lesson says that that seems probable, and that's the way he is going to treat it in this lesson. It expresses a fervent prayer for the salvation of the Gentiles. We'll go back and be studying that next week, but in the time remaining, let me refresh you on the 67th Psalm. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou wilt judge the peoples with equity, and govern the nations of the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. The earth hath yielded her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us.